We're joined on the program by a woman who is an intuitive, a medium, an animal communicator, the author of a number of books, including Intuitive Communication, and you can see her on the terrific new Peacock series, Paul T. Goldman. We are joined by Terry J. Terry, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
I want to talk first off about what you do and how it works. And you've explained that what you do is a pretty natural thing. You pick up on energy that other people miss.
That's pretty much it. My practice is completely based in physics, energy, frequency, vibration. I really like to take the woo-woo out of it, you know. And, you know, I just found out I could do this back in 1990 when I heard a nonverbal child speak.
And so how did you respond to that? Were you aware of what was happening at the time?
Not at all. Not at all. The volunteer that was helping me had to point it out. And then I went into the classroom, and they had put a pointer on his head, and he typed out on his computer, "Horse lady can hear me." So then I had it confirmed, and then I stood there and talked with him and realized that I was hearing telepathic communication.
And you wrote in your book about the work that you've done with people who are non-communicative. That has to be so rewarding to be able to give that gift to the families.
Oh, goodness, yes. It's, you know, people don't realize this. We have 7 to 9 million people in the United States that cannot communicate. From coma, persistent vegetative state, from severe Alzheimer's, nonverbal autism. There's so many people that can benefit from learning intuitive communication.
So let me ask you this. In terms of what you get for a message, and I've spoken with mediums before, and it's been explained to me that sometimes that it's not a literal thing, that sometimes it's more symbols. How would you describe what you receive for communication?
You know, it really depends on what you're communicating with or who you're communicating with. With animals, you get visual images, taste, smell, sounds, feelings. Feelings can either be emotions or they can be physical pain. And so you have to tune in a different way and then sort of put it all together. If I communicate with somebody in a coma, it's going to be just like talking with you. It's going to be the same thing. And if I'm communicating with somebody on the other side, again, it's the same thing. It's just like having a conversation with a person that's in physical form.
And how did you determine that you had the ability to be an animal communicator?
Well, after I had that one incident back in 1990, the gal that was helping me said, well, you ought to learn to communicate with the horses because it's the same thing. All animals are telepathic. And then I was just so naive, and there were like no books at the time. Now it's a cottage industry. But I just thought, okay, that's what I want to do. And so I did.
Well, it's fascinating, the work that you do, and equally fascinating. I was absolutely mesmerized by this new series on Peacock, Paul T. Goldman. It's fascinating what Jason Wallander has done with this series, because the lines between reality and fiction, much as they were in Paul's life, seem to be a little bit blurred. How much did you know about the project when you got involved in it?
I just knew what I was going off of Paul's book, you know, and that he had recorded the readings that I did for him. And way back in, I think, 2005 is when I did that reading for him and told him that his wife felt like a hooker. And she, instead of the money on the dresser, she wanted his stuff. And so that sort of, you know, stopped his desire to try to make it work and got him on the trail of kind of becoming his own detective, to figure out who she was and what she was doing and all of that.
And so what were you able to ascertain about the woman that is known as Audrey in the series? How were you able to figure out that she was involved in some certainly nefarious activities?
Well, that was just based on feeling that, you know, here she was acting like this warm and caring and loving person, and she was not. It was all an act. You know, she should have gotten an Emmy for acting in his life. Because she was good. And of course, you know, Paul, he's so sweet. You know, and he's kind of naive. I don't know so much anymore, but, you know, he's just a really nice, sweet man. And so he takes people at face value.
Well, and as you told him early on, at least in the series, you said to him, I'm your butt kicker.
Yes, I do that for my clients. I'm their gentle, loving butt kicker. And I like to do that.
Well, you play yourself in several episodes of the series. And then a friend of our show, the wonderful Dee Wallace, plays you as well. What was that experience like of getting to see someone else with an incredible record of accomplishments? She's got, I think, more IMDb credits than any other actress out there. What was it like having her play you? And you were often right there watching the scenes.
That was so cool. They flew me down there to watch her play me and get my impression of it. And I don't think they could have gotten anybody better. You know, people don't realize this about her, but she does energy healing and
right.
have the same stuff that I do. You know, we have different practices, but it's still in the same, you know, the same genre, so to speak. And I was so honored to find out that it was her and they get to meet her. And she's so down to earth and wonderful. They couldn't have picked anybody better. I mean, I think she's actually too good to play me.
Well, the story, and I don't want to give too much away because I want people to watch the series, and it's you find yourself, and I'm guessing this might have been the experience of you working with Paul, that at times you want him to do well and find what he's looking for, and then at other times you get a little infuriated with him.
Well, I never judge my clients. That wouldn't serve anybody. But do I want to kick their hiney sometimes? You bet I do. Yeah, because especially when they don't listen. I've had so many clients, they use me for a reading, and then they say, well, you know, they'll call me a year later and go, I need you. And I go, what happened? Well, I didn't listen to you. And now they're in a bigger poop storm, you know?
Now, I don't want to give away any spoilers in the series, but as we get close to the end, questions come up, and what we think we know maybe isn't quite the real deal. And the question arises, were you manipulating Paul in the course of your conversations and your readings with him?
Oh, my goodness. I don't think I'm capable of that. I don't think I'm capable of that. And, you know, the thing about the checks flying off, my rates are 50 and 90 half hour. They are the lowest in the industry. I've had people, even Dee says, Terry, you need to charge more because I just want to make my services available to everyone. I have a lot of horse clients that are horse poor, and if I raised my rates, they couldn't use me. So the idea that I was getting rich off of doing readings for him all the time, no. And I would never manipulate someone. That's not my role. My role is to provide information. What they choose to do with that information is sorely up to them.
Yeah, and my impression was that you opened some doors for Paul and you provided some options and some possibilities for him with some things that, frankly, he didn't want to see until you helped him see them.
That's the way I would look at it. You know, it's when you're, especially when you're working in a very difficult subject matter, you know, romance is one of the things where, you know, you have clients that are in resistance. And they want you to tell them what they want to hear, not what the truth is. And that's totally unethical. I would never do that, you know, to someone. It's unethical. And one of the things I learned early on when doing this work is you must have impeccable ethics. You know, you can never do like an ambush reading for someone like, oh, I'm getting something on you. No, you can never do that. It's unethical to do that.
I would think, too, when we talk about the rewards that you get from doing what you do, helping owners find pets who are lost, that has to bring you so much joy.
Yeah, that's really a weird thing. I won't do outdoor cats, and I won't do indoor-outdoor cats that get lost. But all the other animals, sure, I'm happy to help with that. The only things I won't do is police work. So if somebody says my dog was stolen, no, not going there. You know, or my horse was stolen. Nope, won't do it. I can't tune into the negativity. And the only place you're going to get information is from the perpetrator. And you just feel like so energetically blind if you do that. So those are the only limitations I have. But I do remote viewing. So I get on Google Maps and I can feel the energy of the animal and where it is. And it's been very helpful.
Are there certain animals or types of animal that communicate better than others?
Oh, I think our dogs have us very well trained. You know, they're telling us, you know, what to do all the time. So, and I love communicating with horses because they're so smart, you know, and they love the partnerships that they have with us. Probably one of the smartest animals I've communicated with are mules. Mules are just amazing.
You can go to Terry's website at terryj.com. You can buy her books, get more information, find out about her readings. So if someone were to reach out to you about doing a reading over a phone, how does that work for you? Now, you don't want to know a whole lot in advance, right?
No, I just start every reading the same. How can I help? And then as I've already done an energetic connection to them with unconditional love, and then when they start telling me what they're concerned with, then I'm connected to them and to the universe, and then I receive the information that they need in order to make decisions or changes that they need to make in their life.
And what do you say to skeptics, or even if you're dealing with someone who has skeptics in their family?
That's fine. I love skeptics. I love them, because once you turn them, boy, it's like a religious experience for them, because they go, how can you know that? There's no way you can know that. It's like, oh, I'm just making stuff up, is what I tell them, because they know I'm not. You know? So I have a lot of fun with it, and I always say what anyone thinks of me is none of my business. So if they want to be skeptical, that's fine. I'm here to help the people that are open to receiving the help.
Terry J with us on Downtown. If you haven't seen Paul T. Goldman yet, check it out. It's worth the subscription to Peacock just to watch this terrific series and see Terry both in real life and then portrayed by our friend Dee Wallace as well. And again, you can go to her website at terryj.com for more information. Terry, it's been a delight to talk with you. Thanks for making time for us this afternoon.
Thanks so much for having me on. It was really great.